It's Helping Hand, weekly feature here, HBR1 stations, Fridays at 5:30, part of All Things Considered. Online as well, our growing archive of Helping Hand segments at hawaiipublicradio.org. On Helping Hand, we try to put the spotlight on an organization, event, a topic in the community that offers assistance to the disabled and to folks who are among the most vulnerable in the community. Aloha, I'm Dave Lawrence. This week we are learning about Big Brothers, Big Sisters, Hawaii, and it's a returning guest organization and a new guest from it. And since 1963, they have partnered with guardians, schools, corporations, others in the community. They pair children or littles with carefully screened and trained volunteer mentors, the Bigs. And it's an affiliate of the nation's largest donor and volunteer-supported mentoring network. No doubt you have heard about it or been part of it during the course of your life. They provide over 600 children facing adversity with strong and enduring professionally supported one-to-one mentoring relationships. And some of these can really change lives for the better forever and become lasting bonds, really make a significant impact in a positive way on someone's life. We're going to learn a lot more. We are so privileged to have Dennis Brown, the president and CEO of Big Brothers, Big Sisters Hawaii, here at HPR. Thank you very much for coming, Dennis.
Well, thank you for having me, Dave.
It's a great pleasure. And for folks, everyone's probably heard the name, but I bet a lot of people don't understand how exactly it could be an invaluable relationship that you sort of help foster, if you could explain how it works.
My pleasure. And you're absolutely right. People do know our name very, very well, but it is a little difficult to put into a real short little sentence what we do to capsulize that, because it's a little complex. But what we do basically is try to help children who are facing some form of adversity. Might be being raised by a single parent, might be living in poverty, might be being raised in a foster family situation or by the grandparents because one or both parent is incarcerated or in drug rehabilitation. So these kids really need to have someone to help guide them to choose the right path and make good choices in life. That's our goal. It's really a prevention-oriented program. Try to get kids in as young as 6 years old. We go all the way up to 18 for admitting them, and then we'll continue to support them beyond that into their early 20s if needed, if they'd like to. But really about helping them become more confident, competent, and caring individuals in our community.
So when we, if we were to say, who are the kids we should think of as appropriate, it would be somebody that we obviously look at and maybe think of as someone facing adversity or vulnerable. But if you were to, if that isn't an easy thing, let's say, for everybody, because it all depends on the situation we're in. Sometimes we don't know what we're looking at and we don't realize till afterwards, my God, I didn't realize that's what I was looking at. If I had known, I would have done this or that. It could be a loved one and we didn't see the deterioration they're facing because of a disease. It could be ourselves. It could be, you know, there are a lot of things. So for folks who may want to turn someone on to the program, right, who are thinking, who would it be in my life, if you can kind of draw that connection for them?
Yes, very true, and that's a great observation, because it's not always obvious. We're not an interventive program where you could say, okay, now this child's already been exposed to drugs or gangs or something, so we need you to intervene and maybe fix the situation. We're looking, again, to prevent that from happening. So some examples of children that we serve that maybe not your typical child that was thought of is, say, a child of a deployed military family. Mm-hmm. One or both parents being deployed. Some are being raised by single families, and that parent gets deployed. Those kids go through a lot, which the average person who's not in that situation doesn't even realize. That's really a form of loss to that child. So we serve quite a few kids in that situation. One or both parents are deployed or going through something like that. Single-parent families, of course, so if you know of a struggling mom who may have multiple children, it's not only great for the child to now have a big brother or a big sister, someone who's not there in any way, shape, or form to replace the parent or to do that job, but really, as the name implies, to be more like a brother or a sister, someone who the child can develop a bond with and feel comfortable talking about their own issues or their own thoughts or feelings or dreams even. So we like to say that children who could maybe use some help with schoolwork if they're struggling, educational success is one of our three areas. Another one is a child who maybe doesn't have a lot of friends, maybe being bullied in school, because again, some of these children, when there's a dad, say, leaves the household, or there is no dad to begin with, for a boy, sometimes they're just angry at the world, and they don't want to participate. They don't have friends. They don't trust anybody. So that's another sign. You can look at children like that. It's really about which children would benefit from a relationship with someone who cares about them, especially.
You said your three areas. Can you say those three areas?
So the first area is educational success, helping them succeed both academically and behaviorally, because for a lot of children facing adversity, they tend to act out in school or to withdraw. Second one is avoidance of risky behaviors, such as joining a gang, starting to use drugs or alcohol prematurely, getting involved in early stages of sex, and teen pregnancy and those kinds of things. So any risky behaviors, really trying to get them to make good choices. And the third one, which I like to think is probably one of the most important of all, it may not be obvious to everybody though, is having hope and higher aspirations for the future. Because one of the reasons that kids fail to do well in school, fail to avoid getting involved in risky behaviors, is because they feel like it's hopeless. Their situation is hopeless. Nobody really cares about them. Their dad left, or they never had a dad, or both parents are in trouble. They're barely being raised in a foster family situation, or by their grandparents doing the best they can, but maybe not able to give them the attention that they need. They're kind of like, well, this is my life, so why should I even try?
That's pretty powerful. At number three, any part in your life, really. I mean, those are great objectives that you guys have. They just they make you think about your own life, you know, where you are in it, and the importance of having hope, and higher aspirations for the future is a. That's a powerful thing right there.
Yeah, and I have to say on that note, you know, we all can use mentoring, right? Everyone growing up at any stage in your life, whether it's work mentoring or whether it was as a child that we had a coach or a teacher or a parent or whoever it was, the kids we're looking at maybe don't have that person or have withdrawn and might be, though, able to be reached by someone who is just about them, who's not doing it because it's their job, but it's just voluntarily, I like you as a kid, and I want to hang out with you.
Well, that's what you're talking about, is that instills a sense of credibility. I mean, to me, what you're talking about is that instills a sense of credibility in the relationship, because I get that, because that's kind of like somebody who's paid to talk to you. You have a hard time deciding you want to spend a bunch of dough to talk to, let's say, a therapist, because you feel like they're on the clock, they're watching their watch or whatever, keeping an eye on the time. But somebody like that, what you're describing to me is, you know, you're saying that's a relationship. Yeah, this guy just wants to spend time with me. I don't have to pay money for this. He's not trying to sell me something. My mom or whoever didn't buy this as like a medical appointment to make me better. You know, this is to me, that strikes a more genuine, it's a more genuine relationship.
Yeah, and that's one of the beauties of the Big Brothers Big Sisters model being one-on-one, is all the attention is focused. We're asked sometimes, well, you know, he's got a brother or a couple of brothers. Can the mentor do all three? And we're okay with them going out on an outing once in a while together as a group, but really you lose that touch. And as you're saying, you know, the credibility part of it is so important, because it takes a while for the two to form a bond. The child comes into this not so sure.
It doesn't start with it.
Right.
It has to be built.
It has to be built, exactly.
Which would be much like a therapist, too, because it doesn't mean that a therapist that you pay money for does not provide a genuine service or couldn't be a great service. It's just, I know what you're talking about, that people come with apprehensions, and and we live in an extraordinarily consumer-based society to the point where who would not have serious doubts about any kind of service that, I mean, it's just a natural thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's a television ad and it says, you wouldn't want to be caught driving last year's ride, would you?
Oh, right. I've seen that.
You imagine the message. I mean, that can you, you know, that take a couple steps back from that.
Right.
and think about the message that is implying. That's a tough one to you know, I mean, and when you stop, you think about yourself as a, you know, an entity that's just made up of energy moving through life. I mean, it's just like that couldn't be more to me the opposite of the spiritual journey of what you are. And it really sets a tone. You know, it's just like, think of the burden of Earth on the planet that you're basically suggesting. You need to, have a new metal device that's going to litter the planet every single year to be cool times 8 billion people. I mean, it's just like when you stop and think about that, that nut is a really dangerous way to think. And when you think about a relationship and trying to, the value that you get out of having a person, you can actually, that you have to grow it. But once it exists, you know it's real, and it's it does, I guess, serve a therapy. To me, I guess I see the Big Brothers Big Sisters thing as serving a therapeutic role of some kind in people's lives.
Yes, it's interesting because I mentioned that we consider ourselves prevention oriented, which is true. But at the same time, when you think about it, introducing a caring mentor into the life of anyone, and particularly a child, is really a form of intervention. And you're absolutely right. You know, it's all about the relationship, and that's what we think. Going back to your example about last year's ride, I mean, one of the things we try to instill, because we're careful, and the training and the coaching of these mentors is ongoing, because each child is unique. So it's not like a one-size-fits-all and one group mentoring. It's so we have a case manager assigned to every one of those pairs that follows them and stays in contact with the little brother, the big brother, and the parent or guardian to constantly know what's going on, keep the relationship safe and meaningful, and to make sure it enhances what the child needs.
And on that note, as we sort of trip into the area of helping you guys out, because I'm assuming this is part of that, but you'll correct me, obviously, if I have this wrong, but how do you find the mentors? And is that something that you have a need for? And talk a little bit about that and how people can help the organization. What are some critical ways that you need more of? And you can talk about that process.
Great. Thank you for asking, because resources are always important in the nonprofit world. Our two greatest needs are for male volunteers. We actually get a lot of women who just naturally, I think it's because women tend to be nurturing, and, you know, they have that. So when they hear our name or hear a little bit about what we do, they'll call us up. We don't have to actually actively go out and recruit for very many women.
Women, you're saying?
Yes.
To want to be big sisters.
To be big sisters, okay. Correct. We don't have as many girls, though. So for a lot of these women, they're on a wait list to get a little sister. And it's for some obvious reasons, in a way. You know, most of the single-parent families are headed by a mom. And so if a mom has a daughter, it's not as readily apparent to her that my daughter needs another woman in her life. If she's got a son, no male role model, no male figure in the family, I need somebody to help teach him how to be a man, so to speak, or take him and do things that I don't care to do or I'm not good at, that kind of thing. So we don't get as many inquiries. We actively go to the schools and try to recruit for girls. On the other hand, it's the opposite with the boys. We get a ton of boys who are referred to us because, again, single moms looking for a male to spend time with their son. But we don't get as many men. Men, you know, I think part of it is it's somewhat of a commitment. When you commit doing this, you're going to commit at least for a year to be with this child.
Well, you just said with the whole issue, I mean, you know, the elephant in the room in all this to me is that's how this whole problem started, right? Everybody had these kids they didn't commit to. They didn't take care of them. Now the kid needs somebody else to look after them. And then when it comes to finding more mentors to do this sort of thing, it's hard to find. And it's all part of the same thing, which is, seems to be an indictment that, in general, it's there's an issue with men having kids they're not prepared to take care of. I mean, I don't know. It's a lot of interesting connections between the area between the fact that you don't have a bunch of, you know, that you're in need of men to look after the kids, and it started really because these male figures weren't there to begin with.
You know, that's a great point. We don't really talk about it in those terms, but you're absolutely right.
I'm coming
obviously
from that
connection. No, it makes sense. And you know, we at any given time, like currently, we have about 40 boys on the wait list.
And then none
waiting
with the
for
women.
Big brother. None with the women. We've got women waiting, and we go out there and and you know, it's interesting because girls and boys are different. And they have different needs growing up. So what we like to emphasize to any single moms out there who have daughters, or even dads, who are single dads who are struggling raising your daughter because you're not sure how to do that, and we do get a few of those, but men, again, don't tend to come and look for help as readily as women do. But for you single moms with a daughter, again, we're not trying to replace you at all. And the idea is that your daughter, as you know, in any family relationship, has things that they might want to talk about to someone else, mm-hmm. other than you, just because of the natural mother-daughter, natural parent-child relationship. So this is an opportunity. And again, we call it a big sister because that's really, it becomes a sister relationship. It really helps girls maybe take a whole new look. The idea is to help them become or feel empowered.
You must vet these people pretty massively.
Yes, yes.
I'm sure that's fairly rigorous. People who are listening must be like, that could be a number one and obvious concern.
Yes, very much so. And we do have one of the most rigorous screening processes of all youth-serving organizations. But beyond that, because we know that there is no 100% guarantee, there has yet to be invented a way to identify someone through a screening process. That's why we have that case manager. One of the reasons we have the case manager assigned to every match, staying in contact. So they will call, or in these days even email. It's regularly in the early stages of the match. It's every couple of weeks, then every month. And depending on how often they go out, too, we suggest 2 to 4 times a month for 2 to 4 hours
at a
time.
Is that how many it is? 2 to 4 times per month. So it could be as many as once a week.
Yeah, could be as many as once a week. Majority are probably every other weekend. Okay. And because the kids are busy, too.
2 to 4 hours. That's the commitment on that. And you provide a level of training in addition to the vetting and stuff.
It's ongoing.
Ongoing mm-hmm. training. But before they even get started.
Yes.
I'm assuming. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah, it's not a formal, session of training, but there is, as part of the vetting process, there's an extended interview that covers a lot of those areas and explains what you're getting into and how you would handle some generic things.
Statewide?
Statewide, yes. Since 2012, we expanded to be statewide.
So when folks who want to, to help you, everything, all the contact information I'm going to give is statewide information.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When it comes to helping you guys out, are there specific needs in any other communities or besides what we've already talked about? We've talked about you'd like some folks on the female side. We got that message out there. Good people in general, it sounds like, to volunteer. But what other resources could you use? You need a new facility. You guys need dough. You need a lawyer, accountant. You guys, what kind of trouble are you facing?
Well, we are a couple of things you mentioned. One is very interestingly, we are looking for a few new board members.
Board members.
We had just kind of an unusual circumstance where we had several vacancies that we haven't filled yet. So we're looking for board members and those areas that you mentioned,
are useful.
CPAs, attorneys, professional people from the visitor industry, those kinds of people would be very helpful. And that goes for our statewide board as well as our regional boards on each island. So if you're on the neighbor islands too, when you go to our website, we've got sub-websites for each island, so you can kind of check out and who the contact person would be on each island if you'd like to talk to that local
physical
person.
Needs, leaky roof, new office space, equipment, that sort of thing, anything?
Well, we lease our space, but we do have a need for new equipment we're going to be looking at, and we've got some grant money, fortunately, for it. It's a whole new computer system. Our computers are almost 10 years old, and we're not even able to get the latest software because it's not
so
compatible.
So maybe somebody who sells computers or wants to help you with that, that's an area that mm-hmm. you definitely need help in.
And then, of course, cash donations. We've got some campaigns going on. We're really looking. We're having a matchmaker's breakfast on January 8th at 7:30 in the morning at Pomaikai Ballrooms, Dole Cannery. And that is
where what's the time it's on there?
It's at
7:30.
Right. And we're trying to recruit people who would like to learn a lot more about us. We're going to have speakers and also potentially to sign up to become a monthly donor in our monthly donor program, which is a new program for us. Because we don't get a lot of government support. Prevention programs, at least in this cycle we're going through right now, are not high on the priority list. It's more about intervention for homelessness, and understandably in some cases, there's a lot of needs out there, crisis management needs. So we do have to do a lot of fundraising on our own.
Sure. No,
and of course, we also have our donation center where we're constantly mailing households or even telephoning for those that are...
Volunteers could be a part of?
Volunteers could also be a part of, yes. But, well, the donation center itself is more for donating used clothing okay. and small household items. Yeah.
Okay,
and
so people could
donate
to you.
We'll pick those up from you.
And mm-hmm. you'll pick up the items.
Right. Or we also have locations on our website around the island. We call them pods. And they're little places you can drop off your donation if you'd rather do that than have us come to your house and pick it up.
That website is bbbshawaii.org. Email is bbbs@bbbshawaii.org.
Correct.
And then phone number, again, statewide, 808-521-3811.
Yes.
At our website, no one has to worry about jotting that down if they're driving or something, HawaiiPublicRadio.org. You can find all of our Helping Hand segments online where you get the contact information right there and a bit about the organization. Plus, you can hear the full interview and the radio feature for all of the guests at our website. Things that we didn't cover that are important to get in there?
Well, you know, I always like to share this because you mentioned credibility earlier. And so in terms of my credibility and how I speak about the impact that our program has on children, I was the very first recipient of that here in Hawaii. I was the very first little brother back in 1963.
Wow.
With my big brother was Henry Sumita. And we, as you mentioned earlier, also were lifetime friends until he passed away in 2011 at the age of 80 years old. And I was so honored, I mean, just to give you a little flavor of the impact, that his three grown children then asked me to give one of the eulogies at his service because they said that relationship was really important to him, they knew. And the fact that we were the first also was kind of special. So
wow.
It was a big honor for me to be able to do that and to give back in some small way for I am who I am and where I am today because of Henry in a lot of ways. And again, it was so important to me because he volunteered to do it.
1963, when the organization arrived here, so it was already
yes.
on the mainland,
mm-hmm.
it arrived here, and the very first young man who was introduced to this program and became the first ever little brother in the entire state is you.
Yes. And now I've been the CEO for a little over 17 years, the longest serving CEO, I might add, in our 52-year history.
But the important part of that, that's an incredible, not the important, another important part of that is, I mean, that's outstanding. That's very, you know, that's humbling stuff. And I wasn't even born yet, you know, and when I had the last time you cats were on, mm-hmm. it was just paraphrasing. It was like a girl who had been homeless.
Right. Right.
And I could really see the connection between her big sister and her. And I think that when you talk about your life's journey and the huge value of this organization, what's this guy's name who was your friend through his passing in 2011?
Henry Sumita.
Henry was equally, I mean, he was willing to do this as a volunteer.
Yes.
And then you stayed friends from 1963, way beyond, this program is aimed at, again, you said in the beginning, but because that was a while ago, the program is aimed at folks who are starting age is what?
6 years old.
Six, mm-hmm. all the way up through ending age 18.
Yes.
But then a little bit of, you know, life adjustment is there, but really... That's not, you know, a friendship isn't something that's defined by those terms if it's a real friendship. And what a
that's
thing
true.
That you illustrate. I mean, I saw that the last time, mm-hmm. but it's so beautiful that you like kind of save that humbly till the end. And because that is extraordinarily touching.
Well, thank you. Yeah. And it's, you know, it really is true. I think that the volunteerism is so important. It's very special. There are so many ways you can contribute to the community, but for the right person who really would like to do something like this, what every volunteer says to a person is, I think it's changed my life as much as I've changed his or her life. So,
buddies for all that time,
yes,
all the stuff
yes.
you guys got to share.
Mm-hmm.
That's just, that's one to think about.
Right.
I'll be thinking about that one. Seriously.
That's, great.
That's remarkable. Henry.
Henry. Right.
God bless him.
Mm-hmm.
President and CEO, Big Brothers, Big Sisters Hawaii, Dennis Brown. What an outstanding guest to have today. And that's really neat, man. You got some history here in the state that's rather special. So I hope you stay in touch. And I hope you know I appreciate getting to help you, and I hope you'll come back sometime and be my guest again.
Oh, it'd be my pleasure, and thank you so much for this opportunity. As we said at the very beginning, it almost takes this kind of an interview to be able to explain all the what's behind our program, because it's not readily apparent in our name or, you know, in a 30-second soundbite. So I really appreciate this opportunity, Dave.
My great pleasure.